In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered particularly for those most lost souls. Today's, on this Thursday, the fourth week of Lent, our lesson comes from the fourth book of Kings. In those days, the Shunammite woman came to Elias to the Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming towards him, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold the Shunammitess. Go therefore and meet her, and say to her, 'It is well with thee, and with thy husband, and with thy son.' And she answered, 'Well, it is well.' And when she came to the man of God, the mount, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to remove her. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in anguish, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me.' And she said to him, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say to thee, and do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go. If any man meet thee, salute him not, and if any man salute thee, answer him not, and lay my staff upon his face of this child.' But the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' He arose therefore and followed her, but Gehazi was gone before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, and there was no voice nor sense. And he returned to meet him, and told him, saying, 'The child is not risen.' Elias therefore went to the house, and behold, the child lay dead upon his bed. And going in, he shut the door, and upon the child he alone, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hand upon his hands, and he bowed himself upon him, and the child's flesh grew warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once, and said once to and fro, and he went up to lay upon him, and the child gaped seven times and opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and he said to him, 'Call the Shunammitess.' And she, being called, went in to him. And she said, 'Take up thy son.' And he said to her, 'Take up thy son.' She came and fell at his feet and worshipped upon the ground, and took up her son and went out. And Elias returned to Gilgal." This concludes the lesson from the book of Kings. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according. Continuation of the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there he went with him and his disciples and a great multitude. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, and the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a great multitude of that city was with her, whom when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, he said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." He that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother, and there came a fear on them all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen up amongst us, and God hath visited his people." Thus concludes the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. You may be seated. Today, as we enter into the Feast of Tomorrow, which is the Feast of St. Joseph, it's a beautiful thing that the Lord offers us in these meditations that of death. Both in the first reading and in the second reading, the prophet Elias, the Shunammitess, the Shunammite woman whose son has died, that we have in the first reading, or rather the lesson that we have there. And then in the gospel here, we have what our Lord, who is being there and seeing the woman whose son, only son, has passed away, takes compassion upon him, and in this way seeks to move a miracle. Do you know how many times it is that our Lord raises somebody to life within the scriptures? Somebody who is already dead. Not just somebody who's near death, but somebody who's dead. Three times. Three times. Remember those occasions. The first is that young girl who has just recently passed away, just barely passed away. And so he raises her to life at that time. When, remember, when there's that great commotion there with Jairus' daughter. And then he kicks him out and says, she's not dead. I've got this. And then this time, this son, this young man who is the only son of his mother, he stops the funeral procession as they're getting ready to lay him to burial. And then, what's the last time? Tomorrow's reading, that's right. That of Lazarus. Those are the three times which our Lord raises persons back to life. And this time, the person isn't like Jairus' daughter just died, or like this man who's on his way to be buried, but in this third case, Lazarus, who's already been in the tomb, already been laid in the tomb. The stone has been rolled over, and he has remained within the tomb for 4 days. 4 days already dead, right? These individual ones represent the three classes of sinners. Three classes of sinners that are there. And that's what our Lord is doing right there, giving them life. He being the one to bring life to them. With the Jairus' daughter, we see that where those class of sinners who what? Who live their lives and just fall into sin, and immediately they themselves or somebody else brings it to their attention and they are healed. Those are those who immediately rush back to the confessional as soon as they have the slightest bit of sin, or especially mortal sin if that's caused a death within their life, and then they are healed immediately because they have repented of that, and so they need not much conversion. But the second class, which we deal with today in this son of the woman of name, here this only son, he has already passed. Death has already set in him. He is already passing unto death. And why does he receive healing within his life, this class of sinner? It is only because our Lord happens to pass upon the way. Only because our Lord happens to encounter him right there. It's really a happenstance or a chance encounter, or rather a fortunate series of events of divine providence where they find a way to find their way back to God. So they just happen to be passing by the church. The priest happens to call them back to conversion. They happen to be in this place and then, but it's not through any work of their own or any extra effort on anybody on their behalf. And then what we would do tomorrow in the reading of Lazarus, what do we see there? In the reading of Lazarus, we see that one who is already so dead, so past in their sins, so corrupted that they have already spent an interminable bit of time where my it has never been seen before that anybody has actually returned from that place. And so lost are they within that it takes a real work of God where everybody has already given up. Remember what Martha says, if you were just here, O Lord, this never would have happened. And now our brother is dead. There's no coming back from that. And so those are the class of sinners which God wants to bring back to himself, but are so far gone that it does take that true extraordinary effort that goes beyond not just a priest walking by, but God moving in some sort of way that person even allows a priest to be in their presence and not running or cursing him away. So here, with this son of Nain, we see that our Lord desires healing. Desires to do so. See this in your own meditation and take this to your own prayer, that how it is that a son of name, a son, the only son of a mother, loses her son. What is our Lord thinking about? When it says his bowels are disturbed at this moment. What is he thinking of? That's right. He's thinking of himself. He, in his humanity, is thinking about that very thing that he knows he is going to encounter. He is going to be the son who is led off outside the city to be buried. He's the one who is going off, and he sees within the mother of Nain his own blessed mother, his own perfect mother, and taking compassion upon this one as he sees the funeral bier passing by, says, there must be something that can be done. I can't prevent He says, I can't prevent my own mother from experiencing this evil because what has happened, I have been born for this very purpose, that I should die. And she has been prepared for it. But at least I can show some compassion to this particular woman of name, this one who's lost her only son, and I can stop the burial procession and restore her son back to her, at least in this time. And so you can see that interaction between mother and son. But who is always with our Lord, following close by in the apostolic band, his own mother, who, though not receiving this particular grace in her own person, sees as well that this is a gift which her son is offering to this particular woman and son, but also offering to her. And so our Lord, even though he knows he cannot preserve her from that way, nor would he wish to do so, for it is obedience to his Father, as we read about in yesterday's readings, so too he offers himself in this way so that a good may be done in light of a good which he is unable to give later on, for the greater good of accomplishing the Father's will and the salvation of mankind. Let's ask our Lord in little ways that we know maybe we ourselves can't prevent evils that befall us or befall those within our families, but as well to, in the same way, to have a certain compassion upon those who are around us who are going through certain sufferings and through difficulties. And even in the midst of the fact that we know that we ourselves may be onto a cross, onto a difficulty, or onto a hardship within our own lives, that we can find some way of showing a like-mannered compassion to these ones that we can have some sort of power over, that they might not endure great difficulties, but maybe be lifted up even if it is for a moment. Let's ask our Lord for the right moments to see those things, but also in some way to be able to be willing to offer that suffering, even in the light of the fact that maybe we will not receive the same consolations in the same way ourselves, but in a deeper way, entrusting ourselves to the divine providence of God, who causes all things to work for the greater good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.